This is Bullseye on Bulls Unlimited.
Hello and welcome to Bullseye. Derek Sharp alongside Kaylee Cottrell and Jim Lauck. Yes, we are inside. I know that we told you last week we'd be talking softball, and because of, if you were watching the baseball show a couple weeks ago, shocker, windy conditions, we are going to be inside so that you can actually hear everything that's being said. And there's a lot to be said with Ken Erickson, along with two members of his pitching staff, Peyton Dixon and Julie Apostolakos, who you had a chance to talk to outside, actually.
Yeah,
she's got quite a story.
Oh my gosh, what a neat, interesting gal she is. Was on the Greek national team, got to represent her country, and she told some stories about that. And then also super into weightlifting and powerlifting. Not only into it, but holds a couple world records.
Wow.
So I told Peyton that, and she didn't even know. She said, that's why her legs are so strong. She's like, she's in there squatting like two times the rest of them.
It's one thing.
She's a cool gal.
One thing to be into. So, I mean, I'm into indie rock, but I can't play guitar. So to actually be a champion, that's good. And of course, we're going to get plenty into softball. We'll tell you in our last segment what else is going on, including a spring football game coming up this week. But we want to mention what happened at the Red this weekend. Jim Lauck, I know you called it for the TV side. I might have gotten a little excited on the radio side calling the sweep. First sweep for the baseball team in conference play since 2017, and the series victory was intact, but the way they got the sweep was something else.
Yeah, it was one of those days in game three. They'd taken the first two games, going for the sweep on Sunday, and everything goes wrong. 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position, leaving guys on base left and right, and you just felt like you didn't want to get into that mindset, but you were kind of thinking, all right, two out of three, that's pretty
exactly,
good. We'll
yeah.
take that. They come back with two in the bottom of the ninth.
Now, as frustrating as all those left on base were, it's good to have the potential for more. Let's just see if Drew Butcher can change the two. It's 3-2-2. And he lines it down the right field side, and it is going to tie the score. Butcher is going to bust for second, and he's saved, and the game is tied. An RBI double for Drew. Drew comes through.
And then the squeeze play in the 10th.
Puts it down a bump. There's the force, and it's going to work out because it was a suicide squeeze, and the game is over. The old bases loaded walk-off bunt to perfection by Cole Robertson.
To complete the sweep, so a great moment for them. They're right near the top now in the conference standings. They have a really big series in New Orleans coming up against Tulane. But if things take off from here, that's the weekend we're going to look at where it kind of turned around for this baseball team. Just a great Friday, Saturday, Sunday for them.
And they had come off losing three in a row. Hunter Mink gives them almost a second straight complete game. And then Jack Siebert, those two guys combined to walk one. That, again, helped secure the victory. Matt Rose got named to the weekly honor roll in the American. And they are going into what weekend four in second place, only a game out of first. Softball, meanwhile, has found out that this new collection of AAC teams is pretty difficult because their first four series, they won the first game only to drop the next two, but last weekend went to Memphis and won three in a row. So they're right there, and they host Wichita State this weekend, and that is a chance to not only keep winning, but really move towards the standings top. And I know that Ken Erickson will want to talk about that. We'll also talk with another member of the football staff that's gotten a little bit of a job title description change.
Yeah, Coach Jack Taylor was with our receivers last year with Coach Washington, and got to talk to him because he's now with the tight ends. And one of my favorite things he says is that hopefully, you know, one of the guys in my room will make a run at Sean's record one of these days. So super cool guy on and off the field, and I know our players love him, already have a connection with him. So we said that's been really nice too, making that transition. So it was very fun to talk to him.
Awesome. So you'll see that sit down in just a little bit. Sean Atkins and the guys will be at Corbett Stadium. We'll give you more details on that in our final segment. We're going to get to softball next, starting off with the head coach.
Two in for the Bulls. Down 3-2 to the Florida Gators. Tribal Peace wallops that one. Get fair. It is! That will tie the game. Marissa Tribal Peace with an RBI double. And it's 3-3.
Definitely an honor to be joined by Ken Erickson and Jim Lauck here to discuss some USF softball. The winningest coach, not that anybody's counting, but obviously in softball history, but in school history. And we're not going to make you blush too much here, but Do you ever think about some of the stuff you've accomplished, Ken, or you just moved to the next game?
Well, I feel like I just got here in the fall of 1979, to tell you the truth. I mean, every time I walk on campus and see the energy that goes on, and then remember getting my first time on campus, it seems like yesterday, you know. Wow. So I really haven't had the time. I'm sure at one point, you know, when it's all over, you sit back and realize that, you know, there was a time frame that started and a time frame that was in the middle and accomplished a lot with things. But no, I never really have had the opportunity to sit down and talk about stuff. But, you know, every once in a while when I sit down with you guys, you reminisce about times that have occurred, especially because you've been here longer than anybody. So, but no, not really. You know, it's really about the next game, the next practice, and that's all we're trying to get ready for.
Well, Coach, let me ask you a little bit about this year's team. As time goes by, every team is a little bit different. They'll take on their own personalities. They'll have their own characteristics. You're deep enough into this season now that it's probably kind of evident what kind of a team this is. Describe this team for us.
This is, you know, I heard the description, you know, during COVID that everything is fluid and moving through, and it's difficult nowadays because there's really time elements involved and attention spans and cell phones and everything else. So it's a little bit more difficult to actually define where you're at until probably closer towards the end of the season. And I think during that time, there's the evolutionary process of, like, how did we get to the W? How did we get to the win? How did we get to consistency? And over the last 5, 6, 7 years, you find that don't rush that process. It takes care of itself because these young people are on their own time frames of what goes on. And retention and teaching is the two things that dissect a little bit. But you have to be relentless as a coach nowadays and reminding people every single day what the task at hand is. So right now, who are we? It's a good question. Hmm. You know, we play really well on the defensive side of the ball. You know, offense is always going to be inconsistent depending upon, obviously, the pitcher that you face. Base running, consistent. Focus on our task at hand. I'm still trying to find out if we're there 100% of the day. So, but that's young people, too.
Well, you just alluded to it. I want to harp back on it because you mentioned cell phones. And then obviously that wasn't a thing until a few years into your tenure.
Yeah.
Do you have to set any sort of rules or anything like that? We're going to put them away for a few seconds.
Yeah, we do. We have those standards, obviously, you know, during team meetings that they stay in the locker room and on the ball field, practice time, they stay in the locker room. And, you know, we've implemented things in the past, like when we get on a bus, if you have a 45-minute drive somewhere, you know, start talking to your teammates because that's an art in itself, right? Wow. So communication, we try to continue to try to teach these young women that once they leave college, you're going to have to get in front of somebody and speak. And it's not just in front of a screen. So the ability to communicate, the ability to have some repartee and to have the discussions are important. And we try to encourage that during practice as much as possible.
And then back to the lineup real quick, because you say, you know, you learn what's at the beginning of the season is not going to be in place. It seems like this year more than ever maybe, or at least more than recent times, you've had so many options. So how are they coming together? I noticed somebody like Eigenman, who you knew it was going to come and it's come. And sometimes it goes in reverse. How is the lineup coming together? And is it still maybe a work in progress?
I think it's still a work in progress. And the nice part, you've alluded to the fact that we have options, right? And so what type of pitcher are we facing today?
Right.
You know, what type of team are we facing today? Can we put speed in the lineup? Can we put more lefties in the lineup and so forth? So we do have those type of options. And in all honesty, they've done very, very well with that. You know, the aspect of consistency is, you know, we probably are 8 Ws short of where we should be. But it's all come down to one inning. And so the aspect of trying to stay with your attention span of this is important now. It's more difficult now than it ever has been before. However, this team is really starting to get that point right now. And so hopefully with the last 12 games in the regular season and then in the postseason, we start to really find that peak.
Well, you got all 3 at Memphis, and that's hard to do. Conference sweeps are tough enough.
Yep.
Road sweeps are even rarer. What do those 3 games mean for the team moving forward?
Well, they mean bounce back in the conference standings, you know, and it puts us in a better position right now to go after the 1 seed, 2 seed going towards the end of the year. You know, if we had dropped any of those games, I think we would have been up that famous creek, you know. But, you know, at this point,
Dawson's.
At this point, You know, we've postured ourselves really well. Now it just depends on what happens in the last few conference series.
Well, speaking of the conference, I mean, we knew there was going to be some talent coming in, and you have seen them, starting off with Charlotte. And you're talking about a UAB team that just swept North Texas. Oh, yeah, North Texas. And what about your leader, FAU? This has become tougher, right?
Well, this team this conference is a great conference. It's a top five RPI conference, you know, in the nation. And so, you know, of all the sports that we play here, you know, this is a very, very competitive conference for us to go into the regular season with. And now, as you've seen, you know, the teams that they're knocking off and the teams that we've knocked off, it's a dogfight, you know. And so I'm pretty optimistic that we will send, you know, either 3 to 5 teams to the NCAA tournament at the end because of what we've done so well. If we can avoid the politics that go on in college athletics, which you know are tough to avoid. However, you know, this conference's RPI is very, very high.
Well, that's the question for a guy like you. Mm-hmm. It goes back to student athlete yourself at USF with the baseball program. College athletics has very little to do with what it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You're navigating the changes pretty good. You're putting out a winner every year. Yeah. How much of a challenge is it for you personally to watch the sport change, the world of college athletics change all around you?
You know, you still have to stay with your standards, and you still have to deal with your structures and your disciplines and all those type of things. And during the recruiting process, we make it known, like, this may not be for you, you know, what's going on. At the same time, you know, you have to listen to young people because what they have to say is very, very important. And if you don't change with the times in respect of, you know, what's their norms compared to what the norms were when Robin Roberts was coaching us and those type of aspects, then I think you're doing yourself a disservice and you're doing yourself a disservice as a teacher. So remember, the important part is people call you coach, right? But you're really a life skills teacher that relates to game. And if you know the game really well, you can relate that to life. But you can't give away your standards. And the standards of structure and discipline and doing the right thing and, you know, see a piece of paper on the ground, pick it up. You know, you don't ignore these type of things. And these young people have a tendency to be in a silo right now because of that screen that's in front of them, and then the correlation of communication. So you have to learn to communicate on their level to a point, but also communicate how the game is supposed to be played the right way. And so, I give my assistant coaches and my family a lot of credit for keeping me up to speed with the trends that are going on, right? But you have to read, and I don't think enough people read, and I don't think enough people in coaching read things. You know, they see things, but they don't read and understand stuff. So it's a lot of studying to keep up with successes.
If you ever want to read and understand, have a conversation with Mr. Erickson about the rules of softball, which I did and learned a lot. We're not going to get into that here because my head was spinning, but the man knows his stuff. I want you to brag more on your staff. And speaking of communicating, it looks like whenever it's you and Coach Navis, it's like, you know, a stand-up routine, by the way. Whatever you guys are saying, I can't read your lips, but it seems like it's always funny. But you've got some experience.
We do. You know, let's go start with Coach Jim Badia, you know, who was a head coach at Tennessee. He was a head coach at Oklahoma. He's been around the game for 35-plus years. And then Coach Navis, same way, you know, 25-plus years. I'm not going to give away her age and kill me. But, you know, we've known each other for a long, long time. And actually, the first time I met Coach Navis, she was playing for Oklahoma City University, and I was in my first or second year coaching at USF. And so she was a pretty darn good player, and then translated into the coaching parts and teaching. And then Carlo Claudio Rivera, you know, who played for me here at USF and plays with the Puerto Rican national team right now, one of the best hitters in the world. So you've got some great on-field experience. Jim played fast pitch softball, Lisa played fast pitch softball, and I had a decent career playing. So, you know, the aspect of we've been in the fire, so it's easier to relate to the players of the nuances of the game. But, yeah, that's a great experience. And so to have two former head coaches in Navis and Badia and then have Carla Claudio, who's a very, very smart young woman, to be on staff has made my job really, really easy.
Impressive.
Derek and Kaylee had a great visit with Peyton Dixon on this show. I'm fascinated by your pitching staff. The way you've been able to rebuild it, when you lose generational talent like Georgina Corrick, and I know it's been a couple of years now, but it has to just feel like starting over when you lose somebody that was that talented and also that durable, that took that many innings, and you've been able to bring this pitching staff back around to have depth and versatility.
You know, it's if you start back when I first got the head coaching job here and you had Monica Treiner and Jennifer Thompson and Christina Pacone, and then you got to Jesse Kowal and Jamie Anderson, and then got with Leanne Ginetti and Corin Tassio, and the combinations that continued on, you know, with Sarah Nevins and Lindsay Richardson and Erica Nunn, Nicole Doyle and Georgina Korick, and the aspect of teaching the game and understanding that we can't catch the walks. You know, that's the basic bottom line of that, right? And every pitcher we've ever had, Antoinette Hill, who was with us, you know, until last year, she understood that the only thing that he hates is walks, right? So avoid them as much as possible. And I would rather give up a one-run home run than a three-run home run due to walk. So the aspect of the philosophy of go get them, attack, you know, it doesn't matter if you have good stuff or bad stuff that day, but it's attack, and be relentless. It's a mentality part, right? And then the aspect of just the knowledge of having been in those situations before and having people that are surrounded in the coaching staff by those people, and then having a Monica trying to come back and having a Lindsay Richardson come back, have an Erica Nunn, you know, Georgina Korick talk to your team. Those things carry on. And so that sisterhood in the circle for us has been pretty impressive in the last 30 years, you know, so it's pretty neat.
Because Kaylee sits down with Julie Apostolakis in a little bit, and you mentioned Nettie Hill. It reminded me of you throwing her a bone last year. Probably not planned to let her hit. And then this last weekend, Apostolakis gets a big hit.
Yeah.
I know Georgina Korick, you know, she crushed dingers left and right. Is that something you ever talk about as a staff?
Well, these are athletes.
Yeah.
You know, Korick is an athlete in half. Erica Nunn was a heck of a hitter, right? And now Julie Apostolakis can swing it.
Yeah.
So I'm not, you know, don't be surprised if she's in the lineup consistently offensively in the future, but she's an athlete and a half. And, you know, the big difference now, you know, with freshmen or first-year players, rather, is that the talent level in college is so much better than it was, you know, 20, 25 years ago. And so to break in as an 18-year-old against 22, 23-year-olds, and especially now, this last couple of years have been crazy, 24-year-olds, right, sometimes 27 in these other sports, which I don't quite understand what the NCAA is doing. However, let's not get into that. But you know, it's a little bit more difficult, you know, because there's a maturity level that has to happen. And so, young lady like Julia Apostolakis, young ladies like Dania Brooks, Jamia Nelson, they're beginning to find, Alexandra Wilkes, Alex Wright, they're beginning to find out that there is a big step to this level where you have to be flawless and you can't make mistakes, because if you do make a mistake, you're going to get burned. So, it's a little bit more difficult than it was, let's say, 10, 12 years ago.
Makes sense.
Got about a dozen games left. Certainly the late season series against Florida Atlantic stands out, but can't get ahead of ourselves. So kind of take us through those 12 games. What do you need to see from your team? What's the next step, the next progression to have a really strong finish?
Well, you already know what I'm going to say. It's going to be, what are we going to be doing at practice today? Okay, and so I can't really worry about tomorrow. And I never have and I never will. But if we can accomplish the things of being as flawless as possible, then you have a good chance. I mean, and that's it, you know, and don't let the good pitches go by and the ball gets hit to you, catch it. And I'll paraphrase my old coach in respect of, boys, just hit the ball and run your ass off, and then good things can happen. So, you know, we try not to make this a complicated situation. It's an easy game, and we have to kind of convey that it's an easy game, because these people, once again, we go back to, there's so much going through their heads. Can you come to practice and go blank and just respond and react to what you see? And if we can do that, we got a good shot.
Hey, if looking at the next thing and trying to be flawless, you did a good job with that already in this sit down. Thank you very much, Coach.
You got it.
A couple of those pitchers we just talked about are coming up next on Bullseye.
I want to start with a bit of your background, because you already have some pretty awesome accomplishments, including playing for the Greek national team. So how did that come to be and what was that like?
So I think 3 years ago, I got a call from Coach Fody, who was the Greek national team coach. And he was like, hey, like, I saw you have some Greek backgrounds. Do you want to come play with us? So I went to a training camp in Tarpon Springs, and it just all came about and all came to play. And I'm getting my Greek citizenship. And then I played in, I think it was Colorado for the first time with them. And then just this past summer, I played in the Canadian Cup with them.
How surreal was it to represent your country?
It was crazy. It just, like, you play for something bigger than yourself and your team. Like, you're representing where you're from and where your grandparents are from, and it just means so much more than just a game.
And what did your journey look like when you came to USF?
My journey, I mean, high school and college is very different, but I was very excited, and playing from the Greek national team, I felt like it kind of prepared me a little bit, and there were so many opportunities here with coach and all the players, and I was just very excited.
As a freshman, are you enjoying it so far? How are you settling in?
Yes, I love it here. The weather's beautiful, the facilities are beautiful. It's awesome here. I love the players, love the team, everything.
You have a diversified skill set. You know, you're a strong pitcher, position player, power hitter. Have you always been that versatile?
Yes. Ever since I was young, I've always played. I always had to keep myself busy because I didn't really like sitting and watching. I was always the player that had to go from here to here and all over the place, running all around. But that's just who I was and how I am. I always got to be moving, always got to be doing something.
Well, I have an idea of where that power might have come from. You are super into powerlifting, which is so awesome. And not only that, you also hold a couple world records. So what are those records and how did you get into that?
So before freshman year of high school, it was COVID, but in the summer before then, my sister, who's a grade older than me, joined the powerlifting team. And she was like, oh, come on, come lift with me in the summer. And I started, and once I started, I couldn't stop. And then my sophomore year, we got this brand new building with all these great facilities, all the great equipment, everything, and it was just like amazing. I loved being in that gym. I loved the people. I loved the coaches. It was awesome, and I hold a few world records in deadlift, bench, and squat, which is really cool. I love lifting every day. I feel like I have to lift, like before a game I'll go lift. I feel like it just makes me like throw better, makes my muscles all pumped up. But I definitely think it got me stronger, more in shape, and it just helps me throw hard, move fast, and hit further.
Looking to close out a CG and a shutout at that. 1-2. Change up, swung on a miss, strike three. Outstanding work by Peyton Dixon. She ends up throwing 107 pitches and coming through for the Bulls in their first home game in quite some time, beating a really good team that was 8-1 in conference.
You're listening to Bullseye on Bulls Unlimited.
Here back inside the Hardwood Club, our special location for this softball-based program with Peyton Dixon of the softball team. First of all, let's go ahead and get the elephant in the room out of the room. That shirt looks familiar. Is it your shirt or is it Julia's shirt?
This is my shirt.
What?
She came in clutch at the interview, though.
Yeah, a little team, a little helping out a fellow member of the staff. Next time, maybe she can wear her own shirt. But, I mean, you guys do get a lot of equipment, right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
As many shirts as you want.
Yeah.
Do you as many uniforms as you want? Do you have a favorite color combination? I know you're supposed to say they all look good, but
they do all look good. I think I like the black and the slime the best because it's like really comfy and it's like a light fit kind of.
Nice.
So yeah.
Well, it's important to be comfy.
Yeah.
First of all.
Yeah.
So in her second year, but her third year with the program, and it just looks like, speaking of comfortable, you've been comfortable since the beginning. I know you got thrust right into duties as a redshirt freshman. Has it always been as smooth as it looks, or was it sort of an adjustment getting out there in the big time?
When I first started, it was definitely an adjustment from like high school and travel ball. I feel like it was more pressure, but I don't know. You just got to go out there and do your own thing. Like, you know what you're doing. So,
well,
you've practiced all this long.
You definitely know what you're doing. How long have you been doing it? How long have you been a pitcher in softball?
I started pitching when I was 8.
Okay.
So a long time. Yeah.
Well, let's get into your background a little bit, because you committed when you were in 8th or 9th grade,
yeah,
I think, to USF. So what was that journey like?
It was really good. So starting that process, I really wanted to go to Florida. I love the weather. And then I visited here, and I loved the school, loved the facilities, loved the coaches. So when I just took the offer up.
From Smyrna, Delaware, correct?
Yes.
So that's in northern Delaware, and I imagine you just mentioned the weather, that it got a little chilly up there. What was the high school softball season like? Did it start in like May? I mean, how
started
bad was
in March.
Okay.
Yeah, during the season it's really, really cold. I think there was times where I wore like double Under Armours and leggings under my pants and fuzzy socks, and it's really cold up there, but yeah.
So you've adjusted to Florida well?
Oh, my gosh.
Warm weather?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. I go home now, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's cold, and it's like 70 degrees.
Speaking of adjustments, I'm not going to quite say that you picked up a southern accent, but sort of that northern PA almost accent is starting to fade away. Have you picked up on some of the southern a little bit?
I guess so.
Yeah, but you do kind of have, I'm from Plant City, because there it goes. It just slipped out. I've got the accent, the sort of country town accent. It is kind of that, tell people, we spoke about it in the past, but you had a lot of farm area.
Yeah, so back home, my family owns a farm. I used to show cows when I was younger at the Delaware State Fair.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wait, was there pressure to do that?
No.
Really? No. Because growing up on a farm?
Because it was mostly like my family, and then there was like other farms, like we all connected together, kind of. So it was like all like friends, family showing in the ring together. Yeah.
So you're used to performing on the stage. Yeah. It's a different kind of stage.
Yeah.
Were there any other sports growing up in Delaware?
Yeah, I played field hockey in high school. It was okay. Softball was definitely my thing. Yeah.
Field hockey, now I don't even know. Is that like a winter sport up there? I'm just trying to picture how hockey and me, to me, I know it's outside, but it's kind of like a colder weather sport, or is it?
It's a fall sport.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's cold then too. And we're in like skirts and stuff running around the field.
Not your thing.
Yeah. No.
So, hey, I'll tell you what her thing is. A lot of strikeouts, a lot of wins, and we're going to not make you brag on yourself too much. Don't worry. You get to brag on your teammates in just a little bit. But maybe there's a nickname that's sort of she's not aware of called Payday. You know how that goes. So do you sort of thrive under pressure in those circumstances? Because, you know, you've been in plenty of them.
I kind of just like go with the flow and kind of like trust my team, trust my defense. Mm. And then again, I just do my thing, like trusting the calls and just throwing the ball.
Mm. Where does that confidence come from and that ability to stay calm under pressure?
Well, I don't really think of like it as pressure. I just kind of, I don't really think of anything when I'm on the mound, if I'm being honest. I just sing to myself and,
sing to yourself?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
I think of a letter, and then when I go with the letter, I just think of a song to go with it.
All right.
Wow.
Let's stress this point a second. When people are watching, you know, you're going up against whoever, the Florida Gators, you know, College World Series team, which you have this year, a bunch of good teams. And here comes a pressure pitch. There's maybe a couple runners. I know there's usually not a couple runners on, but just go with this example. You're thinking of nothing.
Song.
Nothing.
Nothing.
A song.
Nothing. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you get the big strikeout, what do you hear then? I'm sure your teammates.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I can hear everything that Coach Erickson says in the dugout. Like, I can hear that man from a mile away. I hear that, and I hear Kathy Garcia. She'll start, like, yelling, and Marissa Travel Peace. It's, like, a good feeling, but then knowing I have to get the next one, too, so I can't, like, hype myself up too much, you know?
Well, that's interesting to hear.
The strategy works.
Yeah, and she mentions Ken because I'm always curious, and I call the games on the radio, and I always see him, obviously knows what he's talking about up there, but he will every now and then just sort of take his time and then say a quick phrase or a quick word. My question is he a lot in your ear, or during the course of the game, does he mostly let it play out and kind of pick his spots when he gives you advice and that kind of thing?
He usually lets it, like, play out, and then if something's going wrong, then he will... He'll say, like, get my foot down or my timing's off or on my changeup, don't slow your arm down, things like that.
Good
like
deal.
Reminders, little reminders.
I can see that.
What's it like being coached by him? What's your relationship like with him? Because he's like a USF icon.
It's awesome because we kind of, like, connect on the same page. So, like, what he says, like, makes really good sense. Like, working with him for so long and, like, understanding, like, his tone of talk, I guess. I don't know. We work together very well.
Well, obviously, and you know what? He's had you working, obviously, a lot as a starter, but every now and then you'll come out of the pen, so I'm curious about that. When it's a day when you're not starting, do you prepare yourself as though you're going to pitch, or does he tell you, get out there and get ready? And does it change your mentality, closing as opposed to starting? Sorry.
No, it does not change my mentality at all. I still go out there and just sing and do my thing, but there's some days where he'll tell me, like, it's my off day or... You know, whatever. And then those other days, I'm like, okay, well, I got to prepare myself, like, if I do go in. But, yeah.
And how do you prepare for a game? Do you do anything specific pregame? Listen to any songs? Do anything with your hair? Because I know some girls are specific about that.
Yeah, so I used to do a slick back bun with my ribbon. And then I got away with that. And usually for the first day, I wear my hair in a ponytail with curls. And then I wear it again in a curl. On Saturday, and then Sunday it's a bun again.
Is that a superstitious thing or just a
yes.
routine thing?
No, it's superstitious. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I can definitely go with that because I wore my my team color lightning hat, which is Tampa Bay Lightning green and gold, Friday for baseball. They won. wore it again Saturday, and Coach Mole's like, you're wearing that again on Sunday. First sweep in whatever, 7 years, so that's going to keep going, obviously. I want to talk about another part. You mentioned an off day. Your arm, I'm sure, gets a lot of work during the course of a season. So what do you actually do at practice? I'm sure you don't throw full speed. I don't know. Maybe you do full speed. Do you throw against hitters? What's a typical practice like?
Usually I have a bullpen. I'll throw a bullpen, like, every day. And then depending on, like, the practice schedule, we'll do like short game live or
the other ulterior motive for asking that question is, do you actually get to square off with any of your teammates in a real life situation? And if so, who's the toughest one to square off with?
Honestly, I try to go after my roommate, which is Emma Humphrey, because I live with her. But everybody, like, it's definitely a competition to, like, try to go after your whole teammates. Like, it's like fun. It's just like a game.
All right, hey, payday. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us here on Bullseye. The show continues in just a bit.
Hey, Derek Sharp here. You're listening to Bullseye. As we mentioned in our opening segment, Kaylee Cottrell's recently had a chance to catch up with several members of Alex Golish's assistant coaching staff. In this case, one who recently got a promotion, Jack Taylor.
This isn't really a true introduction because you are already a very familiar face to Bulls Nation. You worked this past year with the receivers. So let's start with your bit of history with USF. How has this past year been for you?
Last year was great. We were able to do a bunch of really special things in that room. And I got the opportunity to work with LaDainian Washington, who, if you can find a better wide receivers coach than that anywhere in the country, I have a hard time seeing it. So, man, I can take all those things that I learned from Coach Washington and bring them right into the tight end room and hope to develop those guys and let us go out there and catch some balls and maybe the guys in my room make a run at Sean's record one of these days.
Making that transition to leading this group of tight ends, I know you already have such a great connection with the players. So how has that transition been for you?
The transition's been really good. I think what you're saying is true. I do have a good connection with a lot of the guys. You know, coming in here right when Coach Golish got here was a big deal for me. Was able to build relationships not only with the players in that receiver room, but the quarterbacks, a bunch of the guys on defense I got to build relationships with. I'd obviously spent a bunch of years coaching tight ends, so I think it's been really cool. I think the relationship changes a little bit, but it does give me a little bit of an upper hand having a relationship with all the guys already.
How would you describe yourself as a coach, and what are some philosophies that you value as a coach?
I'm a teacher, right? And the subject I get to teach is just football. So how can I do the best job of teaching football to these guys and giving them a total understanding of what we're doing offensively, what the defense is trying to do to take them out of a game plan? And how can I give those guys the best opportunity to go out there and have success? I want to be an elite teacher and student of the game at the same time.
With your history with Coach Golish and with the experiences of this past year, you obviously have a very deep understanding of this offense. So what can we expect out of the tight ends under your leadership?
Yeah, that's a great question. Obviously, talking about Coach makes me smile. So, you know, we have a really special relationship. I do feel like I have a really deep understanding of the offense, and getting the chance to learn from a guy that's coached the position for 20 years and worked directly under him, it was a huge advantage for me. You got a tight end coach that's really, really passionate about the position, and you've got a head coach that's also really passionate about the position. What better environment, if you're a tight end, could you walk into? For me, my expectation of them and really my goal for them is that how can they perfect their process every day? What does that look like? And in the pursuit of perfecting that process, how do we help them become the best version of themselves? That's my expectation, is that we do that.
We'll close this out. I have some rapid fire questions for you.
Let's do them.
Okay, hometown?
St. Louis.
What are you listening to pregame?
Man, I got into a pretty good pregame routine this year. It was always Drake. So on the bus, it was something relaxing, country, something like that. And then hit the stadium, it was always headphones on, Drake, take a little lap around the stadium.
Favorite place you visited because of football?
I get to say Tampa, right? Like,
there we go.
Palm trees and football, what else is better than that?
Paradise, I love it. If you could have dinner with any pro athlete, past or present, who would it be?
I think I'd like to have dinner with Gronk. I think that would be a really cool experience, man. A unique guy, played the position at a high level. I think that'd be really fun.
If you could go back in time and witness any sporting event in history, what would you want to experience?
That's a great question. the greatest show on turf. I'd like to see that Super Bowl against the Titans.
Nice.
Yeah, the St. Louis thing. We got to go back to when the Rams were at home, you know? So, yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you so much for the time today.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Bullseye continues on Bulls Unlimited.
Hope you enjoyed all of those conversations. We sure did. We didn't get into the whole schedule with Ken Erickson, but in case you didn't know, it's not just the fact that they played, you know, two College World Series teams from last year on the same day, Washington and Oklahoma State, up and down their schedule, the Gators twice. If you look at the rankings, they played Louisville, which is in the top 50. They beat them twice. Boston College is up there. They beat them twice. Villanova, same thing. So if they can just get a couple series victories here, if they win the rest of their conference series, then they're definitely going to get that NCAA tournament berth. And we're looking forward to calling the games on the radio starting this weekend with the Wichita games beginning Friday at 6 o'clock, and then this weekend two more games. I know that it'll be on ESPN Plus as well. Speaking of video and radio, no video for the spring game, but it looks like a lot of people are going already. Jim, it's sold out.
Should be a great atmosphere. We'll be doing radio where we look better than TV anyway, so it's probably a good thing. But we're going to have a lot of fun things. Sam Barrington and I will do the game. And then Joey Johnston and BJ Daniels with all the halftime carnage of the alumni flag football game. So we're going to have a lot of fun.
Tell you what, if you listen to anything else, and of course we have the games on Bulls Unlimited, if you're there, don't worry about it, we'll replay it plenty. But I want BJ to really give his former teammates some stuff as they're struggling, but that's just going to be a fun day all around. And speaking of football, on the serious side, you get to hang out at some practices like nobody else as the insider. So what have you seen so far?
Yeah, I cannot wait for the spring game. I was at the scrimmage this past Saturday.
Oh, spill the tea.
Good to see some Byron Brown touchdowns again, and also Gunnar Greenwald. So how about Jack Taylor and those tight ends already off to a good start? So I'm stoked. I cannot wait.
Make sure, if you guys didn't see it, Gunnar Greenwald was mic'd up as part of the football team. Alex Golish threw out the first pitch at the baseball game this past Friday, and he was sitting there going, "Yeah, I don't bunt. I just hit dingers." They've got a lot of characters on that team, and we love bringing you all the different characters. For a couple of my friends and characters, Jim Lauck and Kaylee Cottrell, I'm Derek Sharp. Thanks to all of our guests. We'll see you next time on Bullseye. Horns up.